every people have their customs. When a child is born, when a young man or a young woman, they come of age, or if there is a funeral, there are customs, there are traditions to mark the time. Now the Jews also had their customs. But these customs were not just traditions from their ancestors. They were from the Word of God. They were what had been given in the law of the Maker of the universe. In this passage, Jesus is brought by his parents to the temple. Verse 21 says, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him. Indeed, what happened with Jesus was part of the law of God and the eternal plan, the eternal purpose of God. So it's no ordinary birth, it's no ordinary circumcising. These are recorded for us so that we can learn about salvation. Well, firstly, we're going to look at verses 21 up to 24. Here we see Mary and Joseph coming with Jesus to the temple. Coming to the temple. He was circumcised on the eighth day. Every Jewish boy was circumcised on the eighth day. That was what God had said to Abraham. When God began to have a nation, he gave Abraham this word. It was part of the promise. God has said to Abraham, from your people, the Messiah will come. That one day, born amongst you, will be the Saviour of all mankind. And as a sign of that promise, on the male organ was placed this mark of circumcision. It was also a testimony to them that they needed their hearts to be converted. It was not enough to have the promise of God upon their bodies, but they needed their hearts to be circumcised and made new. So it was teaching to them. It was also an initiation. It was the bringing in of a person into the covenant. That this person now was part of the family of God. That the promises of God were for them. And also they were under the law of God. Circumcision was the beginning of the baby's obedience to the law of God. And that's why it was done to Jewish boys. If we then look at verse 22, it speaks of purification. After the circumcision, there was also this matter of purification, that the law of God said that after giving birth, now this is in Leviticus chapter 12, I think you've got that on the notes, you'll be able to look it up, but it said that the woman, that the mother, to Mary, she would be unclean up until the end of 40 days, and after that she must come and bring an offering in the temple, so that she could be clean again, so that again she could worship God in the temple. Now that was a testimony to the Jews. It was teaching again. It was telling them that we're all born in sin. That we are all born in uncleanness. That we are all born in a sinful condition, needing to be cleansed. And so these sacrifices were to help them to remember that. It was telling them, it was telling you, that you need to be born again. Don't think that you're clean. Don't think that God will look on you and see purity. No, even from birth, they were dirty before God. Even from birth, their uncleanness needed taking away by his mercy. Now, can we ask, why are they doing this? There's some words that are in verse 22 and also 23 and also 24. Says, according to the law of Moses. It says, as it is written in the law of the Lord. It says, in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. Mary and Joseph were obedient. They were people who loved God, and so they obeyed his commandments. Those two always go together. Those who love me, said Jesus, obey my commandments. Here is the one who does not love me, the one who does not obey my commandments. Salvation does not make anybody disobedient. Salvation can never be an excuse for sin. Salvation teaches us to love God, to love his commands. So Jesus, why was he brought to the temple? Because all these signs, all these offerings were to do with uncleanness. But Jesus came, firstly, to fulfill the law. God requires from you one perfect life, one whole life, a life of entire obedience from the day you are born until the day when you die. When you stand before God in the judgment, God will say, do you have one pure, holy, spotless life? The answer cannot be, well, it's good in parts and other parts, well, don't look at those, just look at the pure bits. No, God himself is entirely holy. His law is entirely pure. And God requires the same from you in your life. And you don't have that, do you? And I don't have that. But Jesus has that. And from the very beginning of his life, the whole law given through Moses, all the commands of God were obeyed from day one onwards. Everything that was written was found in his life. It was lived out in his life. Jesus did this so that we can stand before God. And God can say, where is this perfect life? And we can say, it's here in Jesus Christ, your Son. The one you sent to live in our place. To live in our place, to die in our place. A perfect life of obedience that God wanted. And also a perfect death for our sins, to take them all away. The Bible says that when the due time came, the Son of God was born of a woman, born under the law, so that he could redeem those under the law, so that we could also become sons. He lived under the law to save us from the punishment that the law commands for sinners. The wages of sin is death. Jesus came for that purpose. He came in our place because there was no uncleanness in Jesus. There was nothing wrong in him. He had no sinful nature. He had no evil heart. We have read that in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel said that the Holy Spirit would be upon Mary, that the power of the Most High God would overshadow her, and that the Holy One who would be born would be called the Son of God. Jesus was born holy. He wasn't born in sin. So why did he need this sacrifice for uncleanness? Because he came to represent us. He came as the one representing sinners. And so it was right for these sacrifices to take place because of us, not because of him. You know, if the government tells you that to live in this land, you need to show your birth certificate, or you need to show some certificate of becoming a citizen, and you go to your house and you look, you got no certificate to prove you're a citizen, what are you going to do? But what then if all the president, the cabinet, the MPs themselves, they come and sign one for you in your house, and they say, here, take this, it's for you. Then you can live in this land. That's what Jesus has done for us, but more than that, he's come and given us what we did not have. Perhaps you have the certificates. I don't. I'm not a citizen of Kenya. I need to show my visa though. But what if I don't have one? If they come and give me one themselves, they write it in their own hand, what more could I need? Who can throw me out if the whole parliament came and wrote it themselves? That's what God has done in Jesus. He's given us what we never had. That's why they came to the temple, to fulfill the law, so that Jesus would be under that covenant, so that Jesus would be the perfect man, perfectly obedient, and that he would begin to be our representative, to stand in our place, that one day he would bring the final sacrifice for us. Now we come to verse 25 and we meet someone in the temple. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. So let's meet Simeon. This is verse 25 up to 35. Who is this man? He's described in verse 25. He was righteous and he was devout. He was upright. He was in obedience to God. That word devout, it means he was serious about his religion. It came from his heart. But the Greek word used is telling us that he had a good reputation with the people. He was recognized as a godly man. As far as we know, he's no ruler. He's not an important man. He has no power that we know of in Israel. But the Bible tells us that those who are just before God, those who love the Messiah, they are the ones remembered by God. The book of Psalms says, his secret, God's secret, is with those who fear him. Those who love and fear God. He comes to them in special ways. And he'd come to Simeon in a special way. Verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit he should not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So God gave him a special revelation. He said, Simeon, even though you become an old man, yet you will not die before your eyes have seen the promised Saviour, the anointed King. And that's the greatest promise he could have had. Do you know that's the greatest thing you could do, is to see the Lord Jesus Christ. To see him by faith in this life. To see him as the Saviour. To see him as your Saviour and to believe in him. And then in the life to come, to see him with your own eyes. The Apostle Peter said to the Christians, he said, you haven't yet seen him, but you love him. But the Bible says that one day we won't need faith because we will have sight. We'll see him ourselves and not another. Well, that then was the promise that kept Simeon going each day. And now the day arrived. Verse 27, the Spirit led him into the temple. Mary and Joseph brought in Jesus to offer the sacrifice. And verse 28, Simeon took Jesus in his arms. So the Holy Spirit showed Simeon, said, this is the one. This is the one I spoke to you about. This is the Saviour. And Simeon praised God. He said, now I'm satisfied. Verse 29, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you are now dismissing your servant in peace. Simeon says, I'm now satisfied. I have peace in my heart. The thing I've been longing for, I received it. There come great days that we long for, don't there? And we invite our friends and our neighbours and we tell them, I've longed for this day and now it's arrived. What's the day you're longing for? You're longing for your heart to be set free through faith in Christ. You're longing to know that salvation is yours. And if you are a saved person, are you now longing for when Jesus will be revealed? When the skies will be opened up? When he will come down with a great shout? When the trumpet of God will sound and the dead will rise up to be with him, and we will be with him forever. Are you longing for that day? At verse 30, Simeon said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Did you know that to see Jesus is to see salvation? If you see Jesus by faith, Jesus crucified for our sins, Jesus risen, Jesus at the right hand of God, to see him is to see eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I came down from heaven so that you can feed on me. Feed on me and live." Have you seen the Lord Jesus by faith? Have you looked to him? He has the power to save. It's not just somewhere around the church. It's not in the pastors. It's in Jesus himself. Have you looked to him and lived? In Jesus we find redemption. We find power to save. Simeon said, verse 31, "This is the one you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for glory to your people Israel." Now what was Simeon looking at? He was looking at the baby of a poor couple. The sacrifice they offered, we're told it was two birds. The law of God said, that's the sacrifice you offer if you're poor. That you should offer a lamb. But if you cannot afford to buy a lamb, then just bring another bird. And Simeon sees the few week old child of a poor couple. Yet by faith, by the Holy Spirit working in him, he sees the light for all the nations. If Simeon was alive today, he could hear the glory of Christ being preached, not only in Israel, but in my country, here also in Kenya, all over the world. But he didn't need to live until today. It was not necessary for him, because the Holy Spirit showed him it by faith, that Jesus, verse 32, is the light for all the nations, that is all the Gentiles. He's the glory of the people of God. He saw past the outward appearance of a poor baby to see the truth. Do you each day see past the outward appearance, past the problems of life? Do the promises of God cause you to rejoice because of the glory of Jesus, the rejoicing of the people of God? Well, if you're Joseph and Mary, well, you know that this is a remarkable baby. If you're Mary, you know you've never been with a man. You know that this is a miracle baby, the miracle baby. But now verse 33, Simeon comes, he speaks these words. What would you think? They marveled, they were amazed. But he had more to say. He hadn't finished. Verse 34, he blessed them. He said to Mary, his mother, now these are harder words, he said, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Simeon told her, Jesus is going to bring division. Many who are high will be brought down. Many who are low will be lifted up. Many will be exposed. We'll see the truth about them. Their appearance was good, but Jesus will show us their hearts. Jesus himself said, "Don't think I've come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. I've come to bring division. Even households will be divided, because some will love me, some will reject me." If Jesus came offering gold and silver, then the world would be running into the churches. I'm sorry that some churches say that, but you know, that they say he's offering gold and silver. But if he was, then everybody it would seem they loved him. You wouldn't find a person who rejected him. But Jesus came offering the kingdom of God to those who repent. He came offering the cross. And he said, if you want to follow me, you must take up the cross. Because the glory comes only after the cross. And he said, you must repent. And you must give up everything that stops you from following me. And I offer you no glory that can be seen and touched in this life. But I offer you the spiritual glory, which can be seen with the eye of faith. I offer you the way of the cross. Jesus reveals the thoughts of our heart. Because some people hear about Jesus and they say, well, let me put it to one side. Maybe I'll come and hear about him from time to time. Maybe I'll tell people I'm a Christian, but I can't take this seriously like the preacher wants me to. I can't really do all the Bible's telling me. That's going to cost too much. And so I remain at a distance. Jesus reveals the thoughts of our hearts. But some, they see the glory of God in him. They see forgiveness. They see eternal life. They see God becoming their Father. And so they embrace him. And then you can see a real glory in their lives, because their lives change and their families change. They become new people. And you can see that these are the people who will one day inherit the earth, as God promised. You see a spiritual glory slowly coming out in them. Jesus divides. Which side are you of that division? Have you left the world of sin and joined Jesus? Or are you still somewhere behind? Simeon said, and a sword, verse 35, a sword will pierce your own soul too. Just over 30 years later, Mary had to watch her son die on the cross. We read in the Gospel of John, Mary was there at the cross as she saw her own son rejected by the Jews, crucified by the Gentiles, hung between heaven and earth. She saw the sky go black. The anger of God was poured out upon Jesus. What must that feel like for a mother? I think we have mothers here. To see your firstborn son hated, rejected, killed like a criminal. Exposed to shame. Hung up naked to die. A sword will pierce your own soul. Because before the resurrection must come the cross. Before our glory, before our rising again with Christ, there must come our dying with Christ. There must come our dying to the things of this present world, our dying to earthly glory. Following Jesus will bring a sword to your own soul too, when you have to reject even father and mother sometimes to follow him. Now, finally, our final part, verse 36 up to 40, we now meet another person, Anna, verse 36. She was a prophetess. The name of her father, Phanuel, the name of her tribe, Asher, up around Galilee, but it seems she had come to stay in Jerusalem. She was old. She was a woman. She had pain in her life. She'd been married for 7 years. But then her husband had died, only 7 years. So very young lady she was when she was widowed. And now she was 84 years old. But she was a woman who trusted in God through all that time. She was always in the temple, the morning worship, the evening worship. She was there every time. She also gave herself, even at this old age, when she was weakening, she gave herself to fasting. She gave herself to prayer. She was seeking God. And God again brought her to the temple at this very moment. Verse 38, she gave thanks. She gave thanks to God when she saw Jesus. By the time that he died and rose, I'm sure she must have been dead and with God in heaven. But she gave thanks because she knew that the Saviour had come. And what did she do then? She spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Or could be translated, all who were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. I mean, she went around Jerusalem. She knew the believers. She knew the faithful people. She knew those who were hungry for God. And she went and told them about Jesus. Do you want redemption? And we speak to you about Jesus. Do you want your soul to be saved? We speak to you about Jesus. And then we hope you'll become like Anna. You'll go and find the people who are hungry in their souls. The people who are searching for God. Go and find them. Speak to them about Jesus. That's all we can do. It's all we need to do. She went and told them, God's people are going to be delivered because Jesus has been born. We tell them, God's people have been delivered because Jesus has been born. He's died. He's risen. Verse 39, verse 40. After Joseph and Mary had done all of this, they went back to their own place, up in the north of Israel, to Galilee, the region, to Nazareth, the town, and the boy grew. Jesus was a true human being. He had to learn in his human mind and soul. Not the way we learn, by sinning and needing to be corrected, but the other way that we learn, by reading, by watching, by thinking, by praying, by obeying. He learned. The favour of God was upon him. Here that word's been translated grace in verse 40. It just means favour. That the blessings of God were with him. He grew to be ready for the time when he should come out again to serve. What is Luke telling us as we finish? All eyes are upon Jesus. The good news of God is a person. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified and risen Saviour. What are you looking for? If you're looking for God and forgiveness, put your eyes upon Jesus. He's not asking for us to bring some payment. He brought the whole payment himself. He obeyed the whole law. He died. And all of that is ours when we believe. When we believe. Believe in him. Believe in him. Go out and speak of him too, like Anna did. Tell others. Tell them also to come to Jesus.